always kind to its subject. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome to the Just Keep Swimming podcast. This is your host, your friend, your boy, Mr. Adrian Jackson, and we're back in the studio again with another great episode for you. And you already know who's with me, the man, the myth, the legend, it's Mr.
1-3.
Mm-twong.
What's good, y'all? How you be?
Oh, I'm doing good, bro. How you been, bro?
Oh, y'all been all right, bro. Like, just got done with that court case.
Okay. Congratulations.
Yeah. Well, they didn't throw it out yet, but I mean, I have everything complete. It's just stay out of trouble for until like April or something like that. So like, right. That's a fat ass weight off my back.
Okay.
But I mean, other than that, just kind of been just going through some things. But honestly, like, it's been a, even though it kind of sucks, it's been like a good, it was actually a good experience. And I mean, I have faith in good things to come, and because I've seen it, you know what I mean? So something to look forward to, even though it might bring another season of loneliness, you know.
Yeah, I feel you, bro.
How about you?
Everything good with me, man. You know, I'm finally on my finally made it out of my marathon, you know what I'm saying? I've been working every day since what month is it? October?
Yeah.
So what month is it? September? So it's September 5th. I worked every single day.
Right.
So yeah, I finally got a 4-day weekend to look forward to. So I'm just ready to rest, relax, you know, get my mental, my spiritual, my emotional back together, you know, clean my house up, buy some new bed sheets and shit like that, you know, do a little bit upgrades.
Yeah.
And there's just, and just get ready for the end of the year, ready for the holiday season.
As a quick side note before we get into the episode, like, doing that double job or triple job, like, every day, like, yo, it'd be draining, but, it definitely gets you, like, somewhere with yourself, too.
Yeah.
Because I remember doing that before I started working at Vegas Discount, and, like, yeah, I had the Aldo job, and then I was working Domino's, and it was, like, every day for probably like a month or two. So I mean, drill in a lot of you know, I don't say qualities of just hard work, but you feel accomplished and you get yourself back on your feet.
And that's exactly what I felt like it taught me, you know what I'm saying? Because you know, every day I went out there, everything I did, every job I went to, it was always something different every single day. You know, my main job, every time I went to work, something wild happened to make this day not as normal as it should have been. Every time I went to the football field, you know, something weird happened to make it not as smooth as it should have been, you know. But it was just the mindset of, you know, one thing I kept telling myself was just show up. You know, the first thing is there is just get there. Once you get there, you're there.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Show up to work. Once you clock in, you clocked in. Show up to the football field. Once you're there, you're there. Show up to trivia. Once you're there, you're there. You know, there's times I wanted to say, F it, I don't want to go. But, you know, I had to push myself through and be like, man, let me go out there. Let me get it done. It's going to pay off in the end. And, you know what I'm saying? Some good money coming in. Finally was able to save up some stuff. You know, got some things in the works. And then, you know, at the same time, just know that I can't do it. You know what I'm saying? When I do start working for myself one day, I now know I have the ability to still wake up every morning at 5:30 in the morning and get in to do what I need to do for the day.
Right.
You know? So I think now the mindset is more of taking it from applying it to other people's stuff and apply it to my things now.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Put in work for myself every day now. You know, make sure I journal every day, read every day, work out every day. What do I have to do to grow the podcast every day? Just do something every day now to grow my stuff.
Right.
So, yeah, that's what I loved about it. But yeah, trust me, I can't wait to sleep in, bro. You know me, I'm not a morning person, so I can't wait to sleep in. Like, oh my gosh.
It feels man. And sleep in as long as you can, because you'll still get up early, but like,
oh, no, I'm gonna get up early. Late. But it's like, man, I'd rather my body wake me up early and knowing I have nowhere to go than an alarm clock waking me up early
to go somewhere
to get somewhere within a certain amount of time.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So if I wake up early, whatever, as long as I know I can wake up and just know that I don't have to go and work for nobody else, I don't have to train nobody kids, I don't have to deal with no other emotions, you know what I'm saying? I can just work on myself and get myself together.
Right.
So yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to. But yeah, hope you guys enjoy that message right there. You know what I'm saying? You can do it. Keep going. But for today, bro, you know, I got a little short episode for us today. Nothing super epic. We don't have no guests today, you guys, so don't worry about the guests. We do have a lot of guests coming up soon. We have a lot of episodes planned, so look out for those. I don't want to give you too much. I'd rather you tune in and listen. But today I want to talk a little bit about generational influences. Mm-hmm. You know, I know we were talking a little earlier before we started this episode about how you realize some things that you picked up from dad or the things that dad picked up from granddad, you know. Right. And I've been noticing the same thing a lot, definitely with at my job. I have my boss and her daughter works there. Mm-hmm. And it's funny sometimes to see how alike they are, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, yeah. So I just kind of want to talk a little bit about generational influences, good and bad. And just to see where we go with this, pretty much. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, my first question for you would be is, like, what do you believe a generational influence is?
It's just like the characteristics and certain value systems and reactions mm-hmm. that you just naturally pick up from who raised you in your environment, mm-hmm. for that matter. So, like, I don't know why this lyric just came to my head, but, like, you can take the homie out the hood, but you can't take the hood out the homie. And, like, not saying that you can't do that, but, like, there's still some parts of that hood that you can't take out. And that's kind of just how generational influences kind of work. It's just those pieces of things that you picked up during your childhood as you were maturing, mm-hmm. from either your parents or the type of neighborhood you lived in or your grandparents or your teachers, other kids that you were growing up with, mm-hmm. But I guess more pertaining to like family, like your higher ups, because you look up to them, mm-hmm. so you'll learn a lot from them, take a lot from them, and I mean, or despise a lot of them, and the mm-hmm. flip side, you know. But it's just those characteristics that just kind of are ingrained into like your soul or your mind,
right?
From just growing up,
right? No, and I truly agree with that, man. I think that's a great example of generational influence. You know, I think we use the word influence because it's such a broad word, mm-hmm. that it can go from, you know, generational curses, generational blessings, generational lessons that you learn from people. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I agree. The things that you just picked up as a child that you're doing right now, low-key unconsciously,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And until you start to actually pay attention to what you're doing, you don't realize it.
100%.
You know, like, for example, one thing I always had with me was my speech. Mm-hmm. You know, I used to always tell everybody, you know, I take speech classes because my mom talks fast and my dad slurs. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I just say I had the worst of both worlds. I talk fast and I slur my words. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I have to really practice on breaking that to get to my speech the way I want, to get my voice the way I want to be, or be able to speak clearly.
For what fits you, yeah.
To what fits me, exactly. Mm-hmm. But that was like an influence that I picked up on, not even realizing I picked up on. And like, I didn't realize it either until I stepped outside of my circle, mm-hmm. because, you know, you grew up with me,
yeah.
so you automatically knew how I talked. You knew I talked fast, but after a while, you learn my speech pattern.
Yeah,
you know. But it's been times where I'll never forget in college, my counselor, I used to go and sit down and talk to her, mm-hmm. and she would literally, I'll say something, and she'll be like, "What'd you say?" And then I'll say it again, and she'll literally lean over the table, look me dead in the eyes, and be like, "What the fuck did you just say?" Like, I said the most wildest shit in the world. I was like, "Do I have enough credits to pass the class?" "Oh, I know what you said. Okay, you said it so fast, I couldn't hear it." And I was like, "Oh, my bad. My dad slurs, my mom talks fast, so I mix them up, you know."
And
but
it doesn't help that dad's deep voice got passed to us, too.
So deep voice,
like,
you know.
When you slur or mumble, it's like, it's damn near indescribable.
Mm-hmm. It's indescribable, yeah. You already knew. When we answered the phones in the morning, they didn't know who we were at the time.
Yeah.
Like, damn, Don? Like, no, this is Adrian. Let me get him for you. You know, this Donovan. Like, damn, this Donovan? Damn, this a young one? Yeah. Like, yeah, this is all Don's kids. Deep-ass voices over here.
For real, for real.
Yeah. But, so cool. So let's go ahead and start off with, you know, we're going to keep it real simple. So let's start off with the good influence. Or... Mm-hmm. Let's start off with a bad influence. What's a bad generational influence that you feel you probably picked up over your lifetime in life from your parents, grandparents, anybody like that? And let's do two examples.
Okay. Two examples?
Yep, let's do two examples. This one, yes.
I mean, kind of what we were talking about earlier, before we started the episode, the fussing.
Mm-hmm.
And like... It kind of shows. I've been realizing it kind of shows in a way that's not like necessarily similar to dad or granddad,
mm-hmm.
but like I'll fuss in my head, mm-hmm. a little bit and like kind of just judge or critique yeah. like pretty harshly in a sense. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I'm trying to get myself to like stop that and be like just more accepting. Cause it's like, I mean, when I was a kid and they would, or I would say more so dad, would just be fussing at me and stuff. And it's like, or for example, right. When I was the early stages of my dreads, when it was still like afro and just nappy and ugly, mm-hmm. that was always on my head. Literally.
Like, yo,
just
ugly.
Yeah. It's like, yo, we got to cut this shit off. And it's like, yo, just like, let it be. Like, let me just be me. Mm-hmm. Like, let me just do that. But then like, I also notice myself, I catch myself like kind of critiquing and trying to change people too. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I just want to step away from that and also be more accepting, not only of others, but of myself at the same time, because I feel like, because that's kind of just influenced within me. Mm-hmm. There's parts of me that I just don't accept for myself.
Right.
And I just want to kind of like just reverse that. Unfortunately, I am like aware enough to be realizing that.
Yeah, and that's the main first step, being that you're aware of it.
Yeah. And yeah. Hey, honestly, accepting the fact that I may not be able to be perfect and get rid of it completely, but mm-hmm. at least I can do a little bit better for my generation right. to pass on to whoever it is. I don't plan on having kids, but I mean, like, whether I'm teaching or influence, like Anaya, like they're my next generation. That's like my little sister or something like that, right. you know? So like, I would hope to instill just being more accepting and mm-hmm. things like that to them, you know?
Right.
Second thing I would probably say is,
Well, I'll jump.
Yeah,
in
you. Yeah, you get. You. So, we'll bounce back.
So for me, I think my thing would be is, I think it's good and bad. I think it's probably mainly bad though because of how I use it. But a lot of my things, I think, is like you said, the fussing. But it's not more fussing. It's more of, as we say in high school, roasting. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that sometimes I can get into roasting, gossiping. You know what I'm saying? Because. You know, I know my mom is a prime example. What's up, mom? Sorry. But, you know, my mom's a prime example that, she, you know, she'll sometimes, like, gossip, fuss. But sometimes it'd be, you know, legit just her clearing her chest. And then sometimes it's her roasting the hell out of somebody. Like, you know, you know, every time I tell a story, this girl got one up me. I'm going to start calling her one up. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm going to start calling her Mario because she always one up.
Yeah.
So every time I tell a story and she walk in, I go, whoop, whoop, whoop. You know, stuff like that. You know, and my mom would do that. She would roast the hell out of somebody to the point where you're in tears laughing at her roasting a lady. And it's like, yeah. It's fun because it's like funny and it makes you laugh. But then at the same time, it's like, I'm talking about somebody hella bad right now.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm talking about somebody hella bad. You know, like, I'll sometimes do it with, like, you know, certain people at work. I'm like, man, this lady better not forget her glasses again. She better get a chain around her neck. You know what I'm saying? Stuff yeah. like that. And I'm roasting her, but it's like me being me at the same time. Mm-hmm. So I think that's like one thing that I picked up on from my older parents, whatever, the idea that I complain in a funny manner. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it seems like I'm not complaining, but technically I'm super complaining. I'm just to the point that I'm making fun of the person now that I'm complaining. So I think that's like something that I picked up, that it could be fun at times if you keep it in a playful manner, but mm-hmm. when it's serious and you still being an asshole, then it's like, okay, now I'm just I'm a true asshole now, I feel.
that's interesting, and I think I could kind of like this in a similar or like in a similar fashion to what you said. Mm-hmm. Just like it was more prevalent when I was younger. Mm-hmm. I don't know when it stopped really, but like just like the bouts of rage. Please, pardon the intermission.
Yeah. Oh, there we go.
No, you good. But just like. Just like anger in a sense. And I think this kind of comes from both sides of my parents. Mm. Just because, like, yo, when mom would kind of pop off, like, on the regular. She's the true diplomatic parent. Like,
yeah, exactly.
On your ass, and yo, you got to get your grades straight and stuff like that. And then, I remember she got on me so bad for my, like, I didn't want to brush my teeth in, like, middle school. And then I think she smelled my breath from the passenger side. And she, I think she, like, slapped, like, hit my leg a couple times, like, go upstairs and go do that. And
brush your teeth.
Yeah. And then also just like dad's quick burst to anger sometimes. And then it would just kind of like, it would kind of be like unreasonable to a degree. I think it was probably like one night they had a party and it was just being loud and I was trying to go to sleep and I was banging on the door and then they came up and like got on me. And I think, I don't know, it's just like, I don't know, I just don't want to be angry. I don't want to be in that
like anger mode,
anger mode or just distress or things like that. Which is kind of weird because as I stepped away from that, now I avoid myself getting angry too, so it kind of like, it's like a double whammy for me because now I'm trying to validate my feelings and my anger but also control it in a manner to where it's not toxic or destructive, you know what I mean?
Right.
So I'll probably say that's like my second.
No, honestly, I agree with you. I think that's my second one as well, is the anger.
Yeah.
Because, you know, on both sides, same thing, both sides, my parents used to get real upset. You know, like I said, dad will get aggressively angry, break stuff, whatever it is, slam doors, throw your TV on the ground, whatever the hell it is, you know, knock all the shit off the cabinet, whatever. And my mom will get, you know, she'll get silently angry. So she'll just lock up and disappear. You know what I'm saying? Ain't no food being cooked. You know what I'm saying? She'll just disappear out the house. You think she's in the room the whole time? She's been gone for an hour.
Right.
You know, because she'll get silent, angry, just disappear, you know? And that's why I think I get stuck in between on both of those because there's times where I want to punch a wall and then there's other times where I'm angry when it's like, just shut the fuck up. Just don't say nothing. When I should say something.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But they'd be like, you know, so that's the one thing I'm really been working on for sure. And I'm finally understanding where it comes from to the idea of definitely being angry, but not showing it to the right person. You know, there's be times where I'm angry, but I don't tell the person I'm angry with that I'm upset. I tell it to somebody else to try to cool key let it go. But then it's like, technically, I'm not letting it go. I'm just,
you're not taking care of it.
Yeah, I'm not taking care of it. I'm just clearing my chest. So the when I see that person I'm angry with show up, it comes right back up to the surface and like nothing happened. Like I didn't even speak on it.
Right.
You know, so I think that's one thing that I really picked up from, both my parents. My anger, I boil over really fast. You know, I can get to 10 real fast, like in a heartbeat. But yeah, that's something I've been learning. But cool. So now based off what we talked about, our negative influences, my question would be for you now is, how do you become aware of the influences and change them?
And I feel like this is just like a general like purpose of just awareness in general is like it's just that self-reflection and like kind of just taking note of the day to a degree. Or I mean, I need to be more on top of like reviewing my day, but like I'm so in my head and just like so hyper aware that I sometimes become unaware, like not aware, but like just take account of the actions and seeing the outcomes. Like it's a basic math function, and you get an input and you get an output but you gotta see it.
Yeah, know what you put input into, you see what you got out.
Yeah, it's like how are you gonna input something and then not pay attention to what came out,
or because, see something come out and not know what you put in,
because at that point you're just ignorant. So it's like, well, like I mean, where's that, get in touch with that childlike wonder of like, okay, let's see something and see what happens.
Right.
And you kind of have to do that with damn near everything you do to become aware. So it's like, okay, if you at some point, if let's take that anger example, right? At some point you have to realize when you let your emotions go out like that, that there's some undesirable consequence that usually comes of it.
Yeah.
So I mean, until you're sick and tired of this bad outcome, or you want to continue on that road of insanity, like, you got to realize as you keep doing the same shit over and over, it's going to come out with a similar outcome. So being self-aware of that and then just trying something different.
Right.
But like I said, it's basic input output.
Yeah.
You do something, what is the output of it? And go with what feels right. When you don't know, just understand that's going to be that learning process for you.
Yeah, no, and I fully agree with the input output thing. You know, I actually did a post today, actually. Dang, what did I post today? It was a Batman post, and it was pretty much saying, this is me just paraphrasing, but mm-hmm. he pretty much said, go out there and take the risk. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Either you get it or you don't. But just go and take the risk, you know, just try it, because you never know what's going to happen, you know. And with the input output thing, I've been really, really been practicing that, the idea of, you know what, let me not act the way I normally would act, sorry, and act somewhere different, you know what I'm saying? Act different and see how that, what that makes the person do or makes the situation change in a different way.
Right.
Prime example, we had a company-wide meeting yesterday, and I hate to say this, you know, I'm not trying to hype myself up, pat myself on the back, because I don't like this feeling. It just happens I play that role, but I'm low-key like the Nelson Mandela in the office. Like, you know, when I walked in, people low-key was like, I felt the eyes turn to me, like, oh yeah, that's the person that's going to speak up for us if we need somebody to speak up for us, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? And it was kind of like, I wanted to say something in my head, but I was like, no, let me not be the asshole today. Let me just shut up and just, you know, play a different role.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I low-key feel it was good that I didn't do it, because I feel like if I would have stepped up today, I'll probably be on the chopping block. Like, oh, let him go too, because he's a troublemaker.
Right.
You know, so I'm glad I didn't do it. I'm still got my job, fortunately. You know, RIP to everybody that I let go today. But at the same time, you know, I felt like me putting a different input low-key changed up the output that I was about to get, you know what I'm saying? Because I felt the daggers on my back, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, okay, let me switch it up. But my thing that I would add to say to realize the influences is, one, just being aware of your surroundings and looking at the people that taught you in a different light. You know, don't look at them. I heard a great audio today from Joel Osteen. He was talking about Tyler Perry.
Mm-hmm.
So he's talking about Tyler Perry, and he was talking about how, you know, Tyler Perry always had a grudge against his dad, because his dad used to treat him when he was younger. You know, he'd get drunk, beat him, whatever the hell happened.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he'd have to go hide under the porch to write plays and whatever as a kid.
Right.
But then, you know, he was talking about how Tyler Perry, at some point when he was older, went to go meet up with his dad. And instead of meeting up with him to say all these things that you scarred me as a kid and you messed me up, blah, 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 he met with him to say, I want to learn more about you and who you are as a person.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And when you learn who that person is as a person, you start to realize where their traits come from. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, prime example, my dad. You know, my dad was a black man born in America, where you have to stand up for yourself and you have to be able to speak your mind and, you know, no racism, but the white man didn't like you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And, you know, you have to learn to say yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, and be instructive. And, you know, you can't veer too far away from the box. And that's why when dad sees us doing our extracurricular stuff, he kind of like, cool, but I want you to do this. You know what I'm saying? I'd rather you see you doing this. And it's like, I know you want me to go on this path, but, you know, the world is different now from where you grew up. So I need to find me a different path.
You know?
But, yeah, I think that's a really good thing to understand. The times that they were in when they taught you, because shit, think about granddaddy.
And yeah, I was going to say, like, the reason why dad is the way he is because of Greta. I mean, he's even more like a limited box, because, man, like, I mean, he was still raised in the era where they was picking cotton.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't know if it was Jim Crow back then, but, like, I mean, it was close Jim Crow, to it.
But like you said, he lived on a farm. He was a true cowboy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then after that, he came and started working at the casinos, and you went from a town with all black people to a town where you have to go walk to the white man every day and say, yes, sir, I'll do what you want me to do. I'll play these cards like you want me to. But the casino was life to them. You know what I'm saying? That was a whole new world to them. So it's like, yeah, be aware of the influences, understand where they're coming from, you know, see their time, see their history, see who they are as a person.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's just going to help you. I feel you can start pinpointing different things and be like, oh, that's where I get this from. Or that's why you always treat me that way. Or you always said this or said that or whatnot.
Right.
So I think that right there is a big thing for sure. Like, you know, take the label off the person and look at them as a person.
Right.
Look at them as a human. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, really, just take the labels off. I think that would be the best thing. Take the labels off and just looking at them as a man to man.
Because honestly, like, over the last couple weeks or months or so, I was just, every once in a while, I'll just get, like, in a, like, a path of thought. Just like, man, it's crazy how so categorical we are mm-hmm. with things. Like, we always want to put a label on something. Mm-hmm. Like, we always have to describe something this way and then put it in that type of box. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's not so black and white like that, or it's not so sectioned like that.
It's not.
Everything's a spectrum. Everybody's so unique in a certain way. And it's like, why do we have to label so many things? But then I also understand it, because it's like, it also contains the wildness.
Yeah, like, I was gonna say, it gives you security.
Yeah.
Cause I was about to say that.
Security. Security is a good word for it, because it's like, it won't ever get too radical. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that's kind of why we have to categorize everything. Yep. But then again, it's also, we still have to like let that room to grow in a sense. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I feel like that's definitely one of the things that's, I don't know, my truth to the universe is love. It's like, you have to have those boundaries, but it's mm-hmm. so freeing at the same time.
Yeah.
And it's like it's a dead ass balancing act. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
No, so, that's a beautiful example, I feel, because, like, you know, just to give you an example of it, you go into work, yes, you have a boss and you may have people under you, but at the end of the day, they're all human.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They may know something you don't know. You know, you may know something they don't know. Everybody can teach you something. Mm-hmm. I was looking at this documentary. I haven't finished it yet, but it's called something on Netflix about universes, infinite universes or something. Mm-hmm. But they talk about, like, what if you looked at every single person as their own universe? There's a billion universes out there. 100%. You may find a universe similar to you, but you'll never find one exactly the same. All their star structures are going to be different. You know, the way that planets are rotating are going to be different. What's in their planets is going to be different. You know, what's inhabiting every planet is going to be different. So he's like, you got to really look at everything like a different universe. You know, we all are different. Mm-hmm. None of us are the same. You know, nobody's the same. We have the same haircut. I can look just like you. We are not the same. Right. You know what I'm saying? And that's why I always say the line, you know, how do you want me to say your name? What do you want to be called? Mm-hmm. You know, because at the end of the day, it's your name. That's the only true thing that you own in this world is your name, you know? So make sure I say your name correctly, the way you want it to be said.
Right.
You know, so I love that. Okay, so cool. So then I guess my last question would be is, what are some good influences you learned? Let's not be on the negative. Let's focus on some positive.
Honestly, just the foundations that were taught to me. Mm-hmm. It also kind of ties in with that, the quote unquote bad aspects of the generational influences. Mm-hmm. In the sense that, dad wants you to do something this way. So, and it's in the grand scheme of things, so that you're able to survive and get where you need to go.
Yeah.
So that came with the discipline, the, doing what you need to do. Doing sports so, like, you know, you're more equipped to do other things and mm-hmm. make sure school's right, or make sure you get your work done and things like that.
Right.
I mean, all of those things kind of just built up to where I am now today. I'm able to be respected in the workplace. I'm able mm-hmm. to get promoted, recognized, and things like that. With mom, it's like I feel like one of the greatest things I always love from getting from my mom is, like, vocabulary. Mm-hmm. I always kind of take pride in that, just in general, because
I have no vocabulary. I agree. I agree. I wish, that's one thing I wish I picked up from her. Yeah,
because it's just I don't know. I just feel like it catches people off guard, mm-hmm. especially, like, I still have my lax moods and speech and things like that, especially when I'm around my friends. Like, yeah, you might catch me speaking quote unquote ghetto and stuff like that, but when it needs to be, and honestly within my natural state, I'm going to use high vocabulary, because I realize there's certain words that just fit. There's a whole bunch of synonyms, but each one of those synonyms have a certain, like, vibe that they fit to, and I'm able to explain things to certain people in multiple different ways for multiple different people to understand.
Yeah. I love it.
And I think that's one of the things why I like about doing this podcast, is just because I get to share these different perspectives, and if need be, I can explain it for everybody to understand.
Right.
Whether they don't have a high comprehension of understanding the vocabulary, or whether they do, and it's like I'm still able to speak and relate to everybody as much as possible.
Right.
And I think just all of that added together, including the bad things, because now it's like I know where I feel like I know which type of direction I want to go in terms of like healing my generational line, and like honestly healing the rest of the world. Like I've seen so many different facets just from my experience alone, and there's still so much out there.
Right.
But being able to understand the good and the bad that came from those experiences, whether I liked them back then or not, it just allows me to do so much more.
Right.
And honestly, that's the good things that I like just take away from the generational things that's been going on. And the only reason I've gotten those things is because our parents got their parents to teach them those things.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, no, I agree, bro. I think that's beautiful, you know what I'm saying? Definitely the whole vocabulary thing, I wish I could have picked that up. but then I've learned a whole bunch, you know. Like you said, Vanjie wasn't my true mom, but I think she always taught me to research.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So that too.
That's why I research the way I do now. You know what I'm saying? I don't just read one article to see something. You know, I'm reading an article, I'm watching a YouTube video, I'm going to go find me something else that can, I'm going to find a book on it now.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I think I finally just found her love for books finally. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But yeah, good for me.
Yeah.
I was going to say, yeah, the survival skills they taught me. You know what I'm saying? Like, yes, my mom wasn't the richest person in the world. We didn't always have everything. But at the end of the day, you know, she always taught me how to cook a meal if there's nothing to cook. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. What you can eat, there ain't nothing to eat. You know what I'm saying? How to fucking purify your water if you don't have no bottled water in the house. You know what I'm saying? How to heat your house up if you ain't got no heat turned on.
Mm-hmm.
How to survive when the lights go out. You know what I'm saying? Like, how to entertain yourself. And, you know, and things like that. The shit that correlates to Reno like a mug.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that made my college career easy because it was like, shit, this ain't a struggle. This every day to me. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, this is life, you know? Like, I'm glad I got heat in this bad boy. Come to the other house, I didn't have heat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but yeah, I think they taught me such survival skills, and just I think Vanjie says it the best. Fuck what she wears. She uses, we're all some citizens. We're all respectful citizens. We're all
respectable.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't remember that right now.
She always used the term to say that all my kids, you know, none of them are in jail, none of them are doing drug dealing, none of them are beating girls up. They're all respectful citizens.
Yeah.
That's the word she uses. I know she used another word.
But whenever I do, like, relate to the things that I learned from my parents was respect.
Respect, bro. That was number one. That's the first thing we learned in the house. Like,
yeah.
And everybody says it to me. Every time I go anywhere, my coworkers hate it sometimes. Yes, ma'am. Stop calling me ma'am. I'm like, I'm raised like that. Sorry.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's in my blood. I'm not going to talk down to you at all.
Like,
you know, like,
shoot. One of the biggest things was saying what.
Oh my God.
Every time I hear like anybody say that to anybody, it's like a little scar in the back of my head.
Somebody smacking me back of my head. Like, don't say that. Like, trust me. Excuse me.
Yeah.
My bad. Say that again. My apologies. Hold on. Walk over there. My bad. I can't hear you the first time the music was loud. I'll be damn. What? Like, no, I don't even say the word what no more.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm really thinking, like, what's the last time I say? Last time I say what is like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But that's it, though. You know, I'm not saying, like, somebody talk to me, I say what back to them. What?
If I do say what, it's like, what's up? Like,
yeah, what's up?
What's
you know
up,
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What happened?
And only if you pissed me off or something where it's like, what? But even then, that's so uncharacteristic. Like, you really have to push me.
You have to push me, and 9 out of 10 times, it's probably, I know you're playing with me. And you just start annoying me now. Like, what do you want?
Yeah.
But then I get to the point of stop calling my name before I say what.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, that's real. The word what, you know, they say respecting people, older, younger, no matter who they are, brother or sister. You know what I'm saying? I was getting in trouble for being mean to you. I get in trouble for being mean to grandma. I was getting in trouble for being mean to Doug. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, at some point I get selfish, you know, and I think that's one thing they took out of me is that selfishness of, Adrian, you're not by yourself, you know. You're not, yes, you run solo a lot, but you're not by yourself. you know, so you can't be selfish like that. And
that's one of my problems back then too, is just like that selfishness, like not everything's about you.
Yeah, not everything's about you.
Yeah, know? And I'm like, shit, damn straight it isn't. Yeah. Like, nothing's about me. And it's like, again, it's like one of those,
it takes a while to click in,
but it's a balanced thing, because like there are things that are about you and you need to protect you in order to make sure everybody else is okay. And respect, I feel, goes back to like the core basic of love. Just respecting others. Do unto others as you wish to be done to you.
Yeah, golden rule.
Yeah. And like, but there's like, of course, boundaries that come with it, but at the core, it's just respect.
Respect and love.
Yeah.
No, and that's real, bro. So I think that's one thing my parents taught me more than anything, is respect. And I see it. You know, I be on the football field, and I see teams that just, I see the kids that just don't respect their mom.
Yeah.
And that's the first thing I tell you. Hey, what your mama say? You know what I'm saying? I understand, I'm your coach, but don't blow her off now. You better listen to this lady. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was a part where we were sitting there. The game was about to be over, like fourth quarter, and the mom, hey, can I get a picture of you guys? And all the kids were sitting there. I'm like, y'all heard her? Get up. Get a picture. Let's go.
Yeah.
Smile. You know what I'm saying? Let's get ready for a picture. Like, you know, shit, she ain't trying to make you do nothing. She just asking for a picture of the team because she wants to remember this memory. Like, right. You know, get up and cherish this memory, because at some point, you're gonna wish you did take that picture. You know what I'm saying?
Before it's too late.
Yeah, before it's too late. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, man, I believe, you know, generational influences go way deep. One thing I wanted to bring up actually was something my coach always taught me, and I think that's why I treat people the way I do, is everybody's human, everybody's same. One of my favorite quotes from football was always, bro, he's nothing special. He puts his pants on just like you do. He has to tie his shoes just like you do. He has to put the shoulder pads on and strap them up just like you do. He has to go over there and stretch like, he has to eat just like, he's just another human being just like you. Don't act like this guy is anything special. Don't be afraid of this dude. There's nothing to fear. He's just a human just like you.
Yeah.
And I think that right there, like, that always sticks in my mind of, okay, yeah, you know, yeah, you're a CEO and you the top dog and, you know, you have power, and I can say the wrong thing to you, you can be like, get the fuck out of here, you're fired.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I'm not gonna have that fear. Yeah, I'm not gonna have that fear. You're still human. You know what I'm saying? I can bring up anything. I'm sure I can find something that we relate with. You know what I'm saying? Whether it's sports, soccer, football, fucking Bitcoin, cartoons, video games, movies,
something,
shoes, shirts, fucking clouds, whatever it could be, you know, collecting stamps. Like, it could be something I could relate to you with, because you're human too, like I am. So I think that was probably my ending quote for the day. You know, don't be afraid of nobody, don't fear anybody. You know, we're all human, we all have to breathe oxygen. You know what I'm saying? Unless you literally see somebody's eyelids blink sideways, not up and down.
Yeah.
Okay, then you might want to question that person. But
they still got eyes.
They still got eyes, you know what I'm saying? They still breathe, they still got to eat, they still got to drink water, they got to be warm, you know? Erykah Badu says it amazing in one song. I'm hungry when I'm hungry. When I get lonely, I miss my mama. You know, when it's snowing outside, I get cold. You know, I'm human. You know what I'm saying? I'm still real. Yes, yeah. I'm on the top, but I'm still real. You know what I'm saying? So that's one thing I think everybody should take away. You're still on top. And then one more thing I'm gonna add now. The Jill Scott. This was the best thing I saw on Instagram. I wish I would have shared it, but I messed around, tapped out, and lost the video.
Hurts.
But she had an interview where I guess she was at a concert, and she was about to go on after Erykah Badu, and Erykah Badu rocked the crowd. You know, she was just singing Tyrone, everybody, you better call on Tyrone, thousands of people, you know what I'm saying? And then the interviewer came up and was like, Jill, you know, you're going up next, how you feeling, blah blah blah, are you nervous to go after Erykah? And she was like, and then Jill, like, you know, she was hyped, and then the person asked her, she looked at him, she's like, have you not seen me perform? Do you not know who I am? You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, Erykah's amazing, she did good, but I'm Jill Scott. You know what I'm saying? I'm good too. You know what I'm saying? I'm a great performer as well. I'm about to go out here and kill just like she did.
Right.
And then she went out there and stunned on everybody, you know? But it's like, I think that's like a great mindset to have of, yeah, she did amazing, be hyped for the person, clap it up for them, but you're amazing too. You know what I'm saying? You're good yourself. You know what I'm saying? You're doing good. So, yeah, that's one thing I just want to leave with.
All right.
Yeah. Shoot. What about you, bro? Anything you want to leave a quote with or blast any message? MOB.
Honestly, just like, just be you the best you can. That's all I gotta say.
Be the best you can be. Yeah. And all you can be is you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You can't be nobody else. You know? Like,
even if you're so influenced by your generational influences, you're still a whole ass human being that's separate. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, whether you choose to take those characteristics or you don't, just do the work to make sure you can be you.
Yeah. Yeah. Do the work to make sure you can be you, and, you know, make sure you work in your advantage. You know what I'm saying? You work out the best for you, bro. I love it, man. I love it. So yeah, and then since we're talking about BU, I just want to make sure I bring up our sponsor before we forget for today. But today's sponsor was Blended Faces, owned by Miss Marche. She is a makeup artist, a national soft glam, natural glam specialist. She is located in Las Vegas and Los Angeles, and she can possibly travel to you if you pay her the right amount. You can send her an email to blended, B-L-E-N-D-E-D, faces, F-A-C-E-S-L-V at gmail.com. Set up your appointment today, ladies and fellas, and I promise you, she'll make you the best you can possibly be.
100%.
So, with all that being said, hope you guys enjoy the message today. Any questions, comments, concerns, you can send it to us on jkspodcast702@gmail.com. Or you already know, reach out to us on Facebook, reach out to us on IG. And if you guys haven't followed Mr. 13's IG page yet, please make sure to follow it. Mr. 13 IG's page is...
No, it's not. It's going to be ORGNXIII. And then add a 13 at the end of it, numerical. So dude, I cannot speak today. What the?
ORNG.
No, not ORNG.
ORGN.
Yeah, ORGNXIII, number 13.
There we go. Yeah. So make sure you guys follow 13. Keep up with the projects he has coming up. You already know his beats are amazing today. I hope everybody out there had a wonderful day, a blissful afternoon, and an amazing evening. And remember, just keep swimming.
Just keep swimming.
Just keep swimming.
Just keep swimming.